Luke chapter 11 from verse 27. And it happened as he spoke these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and said to him, Blessed be is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. But he said, More than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And so, Father, we pray that you would grant to us that we may prove hearers and doers of your word this evening. That you, O God, would give us ears to hear, and that your word, its truth, might not pass us by, but by your Spirit be carried deep into our souls, and that we might be saved, and that we might walk in your ways blameless. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
It was not that long ago that I was talking to a preacher noted for his vigour after he had spoken at a British pastors' conference. He said, I was deeply concerned. I thought that they were dead. It was like preaching to a wall. Now, he was accustomed to preaching in a certain context where there would typically be a lot more audible, verbal engagement in the preaching of the Word of God. And his point was that British congregations tend to sit there like lemons, and the preacher only finds out if they're alive if they start moving again when he's finished. That preacher would probably have liked the lady who is described for us here in Luke and chapter 11. Because when the Lord Jesus was speaking, this woman from the crowd raised her voice, unable to hold back any more the response that had been developing in her heart. And she cried out saying, Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. Now, I honestly think that the preacher I have in mind might have been a little surprised if anybody had shouted that at him from his congregation at the time. But the point is that this woman could not hold back when she heard what the Lord Jesus was saying. There was an audible and, in the best sense, enthusiastic response to the truth which Christ was speaking. So we're going to think simply about what she heard, what she said, and what she meant by what she said, and how the Lord Jesus Christ answered her in the light of what she had said. So the things that the woman heard, the statement that she made, and the benediction, the blessing that Christ responded with. She gave a blessing, and he responded with a different and higher blessing. What then had this woman heard? Because Luke's very specific. It happened as Jesus was speaking these things that a certain woman from the crowd raised her voice and spoke to him. What was it, we have to ask, about what she heard that provoked this kind of response? Well, the short answer, if you're a regular part of this congregation, is it was all the things that you heard last week. It was that teaching of verses 14 to 26. Remember that the Lord Jesus Christ had cast out a demon and been subjected to an ugly challenge with regard to his power. When the demon had gone out and the mute spoke, the multitudes marveled, and some accused the Lord Jesus of casting out this demon by the prince or lord of the demons. And others tested him, seeking from him a sign from heaven. And our Lord's response was immediate, and it was clear. The nature of that challenge was essentially to put Christ in league with the forces of darkness. And such a challenge cannot go unanswered. And so the Lord points to the nature and the reality of the power by which this man has been liberated from the dominion of darkness. And by extension, how Christ operates in all such dealings and all such blessings. The principle was established that a kingdom, when it's divided against itself, must fall. And the principle is applied. If that is true in any kingdom, it's also true in Satan's kingdom. And so it cannot be that I am on Satan's behalf assaulting the kingdom of Satan. Rather, when I work, it is the finger of God that you see. And that language, remember, pointed back to the great delivering acts of God when Moses was the man who brought Israel up out of Egypt. And then he illustrated that principle by talking about the strong man in his castle who is overcome by a stronger man and so takes away the things that were under the strong man's power after he has been cast down. And then it is pressed home, not just in the fact that this means that you must either stand with or against Jesus Christ, that there is no halting between opinions, but that particularly it is only by this power, only by this supernatural, yes, but truly divine demonstration of power, when the Son of God acts in his saving might, that spiritual darkness in the soul is not just once, but fully and continually overcome, so that there is no vacancy left in the soul for anyone else to come in and take up residence. There is complete liberation from the powers of darkness and death where Jesus Christ is present to save. And he's emphasizing then not just his own supreme power as the Son of God in the flesh overcoming sin and death and hell, but the impossibility of finding that blessing anywhere else but in himself. It is a sweeping response to the insinuations and accusations that have been laid at his door. He is essentially saying, you have royal rule in pure divine power among you. And to some extent, this lady gets it. In some measure, she feels the force of the truth that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks. And she's deeply impressed. Now, I don't just mean she thinks he's impressive. I mean it makes an impression upon her. What she's hearing is driving deep into her heart. And she cannot help but make some kind of response to it. And perhaps it is worth then asking, so how did you respond to the truth that Christ spoke to you last Sunday? How do you respond when you hear the word of God coming to you from the pages of the book and from the mouth of the preacher? Oh, that's different, you say. Christ would say otherwise, as we shall see. When the word of God is being preached, when these things come to us, do we feel the force of the truth? Or have we somehow recalibrated preaching in our minds? We've dropped our gaze. We've forgotten what is really taking place. Now, I'm not suggesting that everybody must sometimes, always, or even ever break out with these kinds of blessings and benedictions. But I am saying that the truth ought to reach your heart. And it ought to stir your soul. And yes, perhaps at times, it ought to cause you to respond verbally and even audibly to show that the Word of God is having its proper impact in our souls. Have you ever responded to the preaching with this kind of urgency? It may not be immediate. It may not be typical in certain cultures. But have you ever been carried along by the force of the truth because you know that God is speaking, and you understand that the Son of Man, by his Spirit, is making known his truth to your heart. That is to be expected, anticipated, and cultivated by God's people. When God speaks, we should come with ears that we have cleaned out beforehand. We should come with hearts that we have prepared in advance, that when God speaks to us, we might hear and respond from our souls. That's what had happened with this lady. She had heard what Christ had said, not just with her ears, but in her inmost being. And so she spoke. And this is what she said: "Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you." Now, if you think about it, this is bold. Perhaps we should take note of the fact that even in this particular culture, there's only one person in the crowd who is identified as crying out in this way. This wasn't a great hullabaloo, and it was made all the more difficult probably by the fact that the last words that had been spoken apart from Christ's were, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the ruler of the demons," or "Show us a sign, Jesus of Nazareth." And this lady is taking a stand against the slanders of the Pharisees and the murmuring of the sign seekers. We don't know if there was one of those muttered agreements in the people around her when she said this. You know, that kind of, yeah, here, here sort of thing, a bit sort of parliamentary. Yeah, she's hit the nail on the head. But at least she speaks. And even though the top dogs in that context are against Christ, she is willing to raise one voice, perhaps for many, to say that this man is a man who is blessed indeed. And it seems that she looks at Jesus through a mother's eyes. We don't know how many children this woman had. We don't know how old she was. But it's very evident, I think, that she probably was herself a mother. "Blessed is the womb that bore you, and blessed are the breasts which nursed you." Happy indeed is the woman who bears and nurses such a child as this. Can I just ask you, boys and girls, would anybody ever say that about you? That's worth thinking about, isn't it? If someone heard you speak, if someone saw you act, maybe for long enough to get a real sense of the kind of young man or young woman you are, would they be tempted, provoked into saying, "How wonderful it must be to have a son or daughter like that. What a joy it must be to be the parent of a child like that." That's not an unreasonable question. And if you are professing faith in Jesus Christ, then even though you won't have, of course, the spotless perfections of the Lord Jesus Christ, but your Christian profession ought to make a difference to the way in which you behave and the way in which you speak. And that will be evident in you as a child in a different way to the way it might be evident in a grown-up. Not in the sense that there's a different kind of holiness, but there are different relationships that you sustain. And it might then be particularly as a son, as a daughter, as a brother, as a sister, that someone would look at your life and say, "What a joy to have such a child in the family. What a joy to be the parent of such a child." And that's essentially what this lady is saying. The benediction, the blessing, points both ways. She's saying, in effect, wow, wouldn't it be wonderful to have a son like Jesus? Wouldn't it be wonderful to be the mother of such a son? To care, to love, to feed such a one as this, and then perhaps to obtain the blessings of being related to him. She says, what a privilege to be able to bear and bring up someone who has grown into a man like this. And how many favours there must be for such a woman. Now, it's difficult for us to work out precisely how much she sees or how deeply she looks. Some suggest that she really does seem to have a sense here of Jesus of Nazareth as God's Messiah. And that benediction that she gives, that blessing, is really a recognition of the fact that he is indeed the Son of God in the flesh, or certainly the servant of God standing in their midst. It may be that there's something less there, that she is, in the light of what the Lord Jesus Christ has just said, she is identifying him, if nothing else, as the great hope in every spiritual conflict. That's still an impressive testimony, if not necessarily a saving one. He is the deliverer in her eyes. He is great and greatly to be praised. What must it be to have such a son? What a blessing to have this child as your child and to be this child's mother. And my friends, that's true enough. If you go back in your Bibles to chapter 1 and verse 28 of Luke, remember how Gabriel spoke to Mary. Rejoice, highly favored one. The Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women. Christ's mother was a blessed woman. She had been richly favored. In verse 38, Mary says, behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word. Yes, she's a blessed woman. She's marked out as the maidservant of the Lord. Or you could go on to verse 42. When Elizabeth and Mary are together, Mary goes in. The babe, John, leaps in the womb of Elizabeth. And Elizabeth says, blessed are you among women, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And then when Mary sings, he has regarded, verse 48, God has regarded the lowly state of his maidservant. For look, from this point on, all generations will call me blessed. This woman speaks truth as far as she speaks. The scriptures have these angelic and human testimonies that would be echoes or would find an echo in the words of this woman. Blessed is the womb that bore you and the breasts which nursed you. What a mercy, what a favor to be the mother of such a man. True. True indeed. And we must not overlook the truth that she speaks, but neither must we overlook the truth which she misses. Because her emphasis is on the physical relationship between Christ and his mother, Mary. The language is the language of a physical bond. Bless the womb which bore you and the breasts which nursed you. And so we need to see, thirdly, the benediction or blessing that the Lord offered. And you see again how kindly, how gently, but how clearly he deals with men and women. And we've said before that Luke in particular loves to pick up the contribution of the women in the history that he writes. And so Christ responds to her. And you know how easy it is to cut someone down when they're just a little bit wrong. And sometimes you even get people who take pleasure in doing so. But our Lord recognizes that there's some truth in what she says. And so he responds in verse 28, more than that, True, but there's more. Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. It's true, but it's far from being all the truth, and it's certainly not the most important truth. And here, Christ, as Luke records what he says, we're back with the emphasis we've seen on what it means to be a true follower of Jesus Christ. Now, we've been here before. Luke's spoken like this or recorded such speech before in chapter 8 and verse 13. The ones on the rock, who those when they hear receive the word with joy, and these have no root. The ones who fell among the thorns are those who when they have heard go out and are choked with cares. But verse 15, the ones that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. And that then leads in verse 18. Take heed how you hear, for whoever has, to him more will be given, and whoever does not have, even what he seems to have, will be taken from him. And so verse 19, his mother and brothers. Now this is significant, isn't it? His mother and brothers come to him, and they can't get near to him because of the crowd. And some tell him, your mother and your brothers are standing outside. They want to see you. And they expect him to say, my mother and brothers are here. Well, we need to call this meeting to an end, and I need to give myself to them. No, he answered. My mother and my brothers are those who hear the word of God and do it. And then chapter 10 and verse 39. He had a sister, Lazarus, called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. Verse 42. One thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part which will not be taken away from her. You hear the repeated emphasis, and you hear the escalation. What is our Lord saying? That what truly matters is not one's physical relation to the Lord Jesus himself, but rather your spiritual connection to him. If ever any of you have ever been subjected to Dan Brown's Da Vinci Code and books and films like that, and their strange obsession with the bloodlines of the Lord Jesus Christ, does not this principle in itself just expose the nonsensical nature of that? What is important? The Lord Jesus says it himself, quite apart from some of the insanity and the ugliness and the blasphemy of some of what is suggested in such books. Our Lord himself is emphasizing the point. Even a physical relation to Christ is not actually that significant. Yes, my mother is a blessed woman, but more than that, blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it. And he's pressing home the point, because it's a point that this lady needs to grasp, and it's a point that all of us need to understand. What is your response to the truth? How will you react to the word that you are hearing? It's not enough to be impressed by the man who speaks. It's not enough to say, wouldn't it be great if he was your son or you were his mother? It is not enough simply to be in contact. The spiritual relationship that you sustain to this man, this Jesus, this is paramount. This is essential. Even a physical contact is not enough. The spiritual connection must be made. Yes, blessed to be the mother of such a son, but more than that, blessed to hear the word of God and keep it. So what is your blessing? Many of us are blessed to have been brought up in what we often call a Christian family. That is a family where dad or mum were Christians who perhaps taught you the word of God. You've been blessed to be brought up in a Christian church where you hear the word of God read and explained and preached regularly. You've been blessed, perhaps some of you, all your life to sit under a Christian ministry in which the scriptures are opened up to you. You've been blessed, some of you. You've never known a day when you couldn't reach out and pick up your own Bible and read what the living God says to his creatures. And some of you are in homes where you've got Christian books stacked on the shelves. You are in constant contact with Christ and his truth. But have you heard the word of God to keep it? Has it gripped your soul? Not do you know things now about Jesus, but what is your heart response to the word of God? Others might say, well, it's hard, isn't it, for us at this remove? You know, we're not seeing and hearing Jesus in the flesh. Now, I wish that I could see him, someone might say. If I could hear him, if I could watch him pass by, I could even touch him, touch even the hem of his garment, like that woman who came to him for healing. If I could only be there and engage with Jesus Christ, if I could only make contact. The vast majority of the people who made contact with him at this point decided that he was acting in league with the devil. If Christ came now and stood among us, some of you may think it would make all the difference. Christ says it wouldn't. The issue is not the physical presence of the incarnate Son of God. Not blessed are those who are close enough to see him and to touch him and to hear him, though who would not wish to do that? Blessed rather are those who hear the word of God and keep it. You see how Christ blows out of the water some of what we might imagine to be the most precious things. Blessed are those who hear it. A penetration of the ear, an intentional opening of your ear. He who has ears to hear, says Christ over and over again, let him hear. To go seeking after the truth as God speaks it. Blessed are those who hear that word of God, the truth that our Lord speaks in the pages of his scriptures, and who keep it. See, the truth must not only penetrate your ear, it must penetrate to your heart and be received by you with a submissive disposition, so that you do not argue back against it. You do not evade its force. You don't try and find reasons why this isn't about you. You don't try and work your way out from underneath the pressure that the word of God brings against you. No, when the word of God comes, you value it greatly, you guard it fiercely, and it governs your thinking and feeling and acting. And when the word of God has conquered you like that, when the Spirit of Christ has carried that truth in through the ear, down to the heart, and gripped you entirely, then there is no possibility that the darkness will reinvade your soul. What happened in that tragic case that Christ had before described, about the demon who goes out into the dry places and then comes back and finding the property swept and clean, another seven demons come in with him, and the last state of that man is worse than the first. That cannot happen if you hear the word of God and keep it. That cannot happen if Christ by his power has set you free. Some of you will know some of the Roman Catholic myths and legends about Mary, the mother of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let it simply be said, in an echo of Christ's own words, that Mary was not saved because she was Christ's mother. Mary was saved because she believed in the Christ that she bore. Mary was saved because of her faith in God's word as it concerned her son. Mary was saved because she heard the word of God and kept it. And so is every other believer. The great African Christian Augustine said, Mary was more blessed in accepting the faith of Christ than in conceiving the flesh of Christ. We've studied through those opening chapters. Blessed are you among women, said the angel. Who would not want that kind of benediction? Mary comes into a room and there's a baby in another pregnant woman's womb. And that baby is the last and greatest prophet of the Old Testament. And when he leaps in the womb, his mother is filled with the Holy Spirit. And she pours out her benediction, her blessing upon Mary. And you think, oh, what it must have been like to be Mary, so favored, so blessed, to be the mother of Christ and to have Christ as your son. Yes, says Christ, but consider this. It is more blessed to hear the word of God and to keep it than it is even and alone to be the physical mother of the Messiah. It is better to be anyone than Mary with faith in God than it is to be Mary without faith. Notice, I'm not saying Mary has no faith. It's clear that she does. But it would be better to be anyone but Mary with faith in God and his word than it would be to be Mary without faith. I don't know how this woman responded to the words of Jesus Christ. I don't think for one moment they were unkindly spoken. We've noted already that it was probably a courageous thing for this woman to voice what perhaps a few others were speaking, thinking but not speaking, in the face of the Pharisees and the sign seekers who were murmuring and accusing against the Lord Jesus Christ. But I wonder if she didn't so much swallow her words as think again about what she was saying. Was she just heaping praise on a great man? Or was she really hearing the truth about him? He's not just a great spiritual deliverer. He is the Saviour of sinners. And my friends, when Christ speaks, we must hear from his lips the word of God and we must keep it. And as she was challenged, so ought you to be. Where does true blessing consist? Where do you find true favor from God? Does it lie perhaps in just a little contact with Jesus Christ? As long as I can add to my life perhaps a splash of church, a hint of religion, a soupçon of hymn singing, perhaps a dash of fellowship with God's people, if I can just have some kind of Christianized existence, at least on the fringes, surely that's a good thing. Not if it leaves you not hearing and keeping the word of God. A little contact with Christ will not save you in that shallow sense. It is the connection that is made when a sinful soul receives his word and trusts what God has said about Jesus of Nazareth, your Lord and your Saviour. And in that sense, it is no more than this. If you would be blessed indeed, if you would be blessed to the very depths of your being, if you would know peace with God, if you would know deliverance from the power of Satan, if you would know security in your soul now and forever, if you would know that hope of which we spoke this morning, Christ does not need to stand among you physically. You do not need to hear his own voice proceeding from his human lips. You do not need to touch his wounded hands or side. You do not need to fall at his physical feet. It is not enough just to be around Christ as his word is preached, as his praises are spoken and sung, as prayers are raised to God in his name. But it is no more than this, that you hear God's truth and keep it. That you receive what is spoken by God in his word, now written and recorded for us in the pages of our Bibles. Can't remember now who it was who said it first. I know it's been said a number of times. If you want to hear God speak, read your Bible. If you want to hear him speak out loud, read your Bible out loud. God speaks. How do you respond? I'm not saying that you need to start shouting out the way this woman did, but sometimes you might. I'm not saying you need always to be stirred to the depths of your being the way this woman seemed to be stirred. I'm not saying there always need to be obvious, verbal, audible responses when the word of God is being preached. But I am saying this, that whatever may be the external response that you make, if you would know the truest blessing, it lies simply, sweetly, and securely in this, that you yourself hear the word of God and keep it. Blessed. More blessed than Mary as the mother of our Lord. In that relation alone, blessed is everyone who hears the word of God to keep it. Amen.